Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Radical Compliance podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance, and your host. Today, we are going to be talking about communication, how you, the compliance officer, can foster stronger ties with the rest of the business by communicating to them more clearly and talking about what the compliance function actually does. Now, that is not a new idea. Compliance officers have been hosting internal newsletters and compliance fairs and the like for a long time. So how does that work exactly? What are some examples of what you can do and how to build your communication plan into a stable process? To tell us about her efforts at that goal, we are joined by Mary Shirley. She is the Senior Director of Ethics and Compliance for Fresenius Medical Care, a company based in Boston that makes devices for kidney care. So Mary, welcome.
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much to you and Radical Compliance for having me.
Oh, sure. Happy to do it. So first, set the scene for us. I know that Fresenius recently held a week-long compliance extravaganza. So just tell us a bit about what you did.
Absolutely. So the idea of Compliance Week for us is an outreach and advocacy initiative. And I think companies have to be really careful about remembering the main aim and goal and not just spend a boatload of money for the company to have fun. I think when we're in a function that doesn't generate revenue, it's really important for us to show the value add for initiatives that we do. And it simply doesn't look good if you have a massive compliance week or fair and can't show the return on investment for that. Mm-hmm. So when we had our compliance week, we had to be conscious of certain challenges, which one I just outlined was budget. Another one is ensuring that you try to reach as many people as you can, because we do have areas, as a lot of other companies do, where you have people where there's a lot of critical mass, such as your headquarters or other areas where large numbers of people sit. And then, of course, you have areas of the business. And for us being a services provider in healthcare, for example, we have clinics out maybe in more rural places or even not so rural, and yet there might not be a compliance officer on site for us to be able to run and host events there. So in order to capture those individuals, we wanted to make sure that they were included. And we relied very heavily on remote activities to be able to engage those staff, let them know that they are equally as part of the program as those who may have compliance officers on site. Mm-hmm. So we ran a number of activities throughout the week, creating our own inbox for email entries to be sent for contests. And the contests were compliance related. So, for example, like a Jeopardy game show where people had to go through and answer questions related to the compliance function to raise awareness there. So that was one side of things, the remote side. And then where we were fortunate enough to have compliance representatives on site, we had them host a variety of different events like Snack and Learns and food-related events, always very popular, of course. Got to get the punters in somehow. And in our headquarters in Waltham, we had a compliance carnival as the real climax of the week, and had a lot of booths. For example, there was a wine ring toss where people had to answer questions to about compliance in order to win rings that they could throw to try and win a bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. So that's what we had on site on the final day. And then earlier in the week, we ran an event with a campfire theme. So it was called Compliance Campfire. Come see us for some more information. And at that event, we had various compliance staff to meet and greet. An important part of that is because we have a lot of new faces in the compliance department. So it's good for people to see who's taken over which roles and know which compliance officers are designated for them, especially to talk to. And also our chief compliance officer was available on site to meet as well. And of course there were s'mores. We couldn't have that event without them. So that was the food draw there. And we also had a number of pamphlets and flyers with the promised information, and separately around the room, four different flip charts with activities for getting people engaged as well.
So key question here, did you also have actual campfires at the compliance campfires?
Well, you know, in America, I have to be really conscious of health and safety, perhaps more so than in any other country. I think this highly litigious society here, Matt. So we were able to do the campfire in two different ways. We had a little cardboard one that we procured from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then we had projectors on screens on the wall with campfires, and we had sound effects of crackling flame sounds and hooting owls and crickets in the night.
Necessity is the mother of invention. All right.
Absolutely.
So next question, tell us a bit about where your objectives, or what were the objectives for this communications push, and like, where did those objectives come from?
Absolutely. So one thing that I mentioned earlier was the importance of having being able to put a face to the name, especially of our new compliance officers who are around new compliance staff, and knowing just who it is that you can contact for certain things. We're a fairly huge company, I would say, and so we are in some respects very fortunate to be able to have certain subject matter experts in different areas. And so we have someone in the compliance team who is dedicated to IT privacy and security. I do the compliance training for the North America business. Mm-hmm. And we have an investigations head and so on. And so it can be quite helpful for people to put a name to the face and know fairly quickly who they can contact in future for issues on certain matters, and know who it is without sending a million different emails and getting forwarded from, you know, shuttled from person to person until they find the right one. So one of the objectives was being able to introduce compliance to the business. And also, I think a very important part of Compliance Week is the humanizing of compliance function. It always scares me, the thought, if someone's first interaction with compliance is part of an audit or an investigation, that's not the most positive light. And certainly people would not be feeling very comfortable in that situation. So I think when you do these outreach and advocacy type activities, it really helps people see compliance as being business partners and a little bit more human, rather than the person on the end of an email giving you potentially advice that you may not have been hoping for.
Yeah.
And so once we establish that rapport, I always find that makes life a lot easier. And if you can sneak in a bit of education and awareness at the same time, then I think that's where you're starting to show the value for the budget that has been set aside.
So talk to us a little about how you assess the communications with your workforce. I mean, because sure, a compliance officer needs to know the laws and the rules and the policies that apply to the organization. I take all of that as a given. I'm always thinking the tricky part of communicating effectively is to understand what the culture of the company is, and really what the subcultures are in different places and different divisions. And how do you try and figure out the right ways to reach people, and how to assess all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. And for those of you who haven't figured it out, I'm not originally from the United States. Having worked internationally for some time now, I think that has become one of the most important things to me when settling into a new country. I've had the real privilege of working on four different continents now. And even, you know, I grew up in a Western country, but moving to the United States, the number of sometimes very subtle cultural differences that actually have a big impact when not respected in the correct way, I think that's really important to take into account. And so sometimes it's just a matter of trial and error. I know that if I'm doing something for New Zealand and Australia, sarcasm is practically our mother tongue. And in New Zealand, for example, my home country, we have a local beer, and its entire advertising campaign relies solely on sarcasm. However, if I try to use sarcasm when I'm training an Asian audience, that doesn't go down so well. In Asia, they're very literal, and So it's important to be aware of what you're saying. If you're making a joke and trying to be sarcastic, you may be in fact giving people the complete opposite message that you want to be giving, and they go away thinking that they've heard something, and they have, and it's because of the way in which you've literally said it. So another thing for Asia is that cartoons tend to go down very well there compared with a lot of other different regions, and you can get away with very cutesy compliance campaigns and people love it. And in India, for example, they are a deeply feeling country. Emotion is something that Team India seems to relate really well to. So I think part of it is properly ensconcing yourself in the subcultures. I've talked a little bit about geographical ones here, but there's also other different demographics to take into account. So in my business, of course, we have a diverse workforce. And so when we tried to do activities for Compliance Week and other different communications initiatives, it's really important to try and do different things that you hope will touch different members of your audience. And so, for example, one of the remote activities that we had for Compliance Week was called the Emoji Game. And what we did was take emoji and then had a word bank of compliance policies within our company, and you had to match up the emoji or series of emojis that represented the compliance policy. And I hoped that that would appeal, well, first off, ideally to everyone, but I thought in particular a target audience of our millennial workforce would particularly enjoy that one. So I think part of the cultural sensitivity is immersing yourself in your workforce and trying to work out, once you get to know them, what's going to work with which audience and how can you think outside the box to deploy different activities that will appeal to everyone.
I think translating compliance policies into pure emoji would be the way to that is a brilliant idea. Okay, so last question is just how do you try to solicit feedback and involvement from the employee base here to turn this exercise into something that can be improved in year two and year three and kind of make this a perpetual self-improving cycle here? Like, what are some of the ideas to keep this rolling?
Excellent. Well, my preference is actually to give the most weight to unsolicited feedback. And by that, I mean when people come up to you and say, hey, it has been so fun coming into work today. Thank you so much for the effort that you guys have put in. That to me seems more genuine and less contrived than anything where we try to solicit feedback. So I think if you receive that type of communication back from your colleagues, that's the best kind of feedback to get. And it's not always, sunshine and rainbows either. If someone says, hey, I had an idea as to how this could be improved next time, that's also a possibility as well. But I think the unsolicited feedback is the real gauge as to how well you're doing. In terms of soliciting feedback, we actually incorporated that into our Compliance Week activities. So you'll recall the Compliance Campfire event that I talked about earlier. On the flip charts that we had, two of the flip charts specifically requested feedback. One was about feedback for the compliance department, and the other was feedback about Compliance Week so far. And people could just take a marker and put stuff down. And a third one was actually simply, what word do you associate with compliance? And one person did actually put the word no. And a colleague was disappointed by that. And some of us wanted to turn that around and say, no, that's actually a good thing. It means that we still know where to target our communications and our dialogue with people. If some still see compliance as being a no function, which is of course what we don't want, mm-hmm. The fact that we're now aware of that, and that person is not going to just come probably knocking on our door and say, hey, I just wanted to tell you that I see you guys as being, the dream crushers of my world. The fact that they, they took the time to put that in there, it's easy now. They've just handed us on a platter where we can start directing some of our efforts going forward. So we actually used Compliance Week to solicit some information. And when we said, come to us for some more information,
it wasn't about a one-way street of us giving out information. We wanted it to be a two-way street of receiving information in return, and that we did.
All right. Well, so Mary, that's all the time we have today, but you covered a lot of ground here for us, so thank you very much for your time. This has been really interesting.
Thanks so much, Matt. Take care.
And again, everybody, that was Mary Shirley, Senior Director of Ethics and Compliance for Fresenius Healthcare North America. And she was telling us today about her compliance communications program and how Fresenius is trying to preach the compliance message to its employees. So that is all for this podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.